session number 22077, room 7.
Harold Morris Metcalf, reel 7. So you'd had your nose mended, packed and straightened, and you went back to the regiment after
yes.
the All India boxing match.
That's right.
Bangalore and all the way around India.
Yeah.
Okay. So the regiment was in Wellington, wasn't
we were
it?
Now in Wellington, yes.
Yeah.
And we did our normal procedures, you know, and sport was a thing. I played football, rugby, hockey, boxing, cricket. I was captain of the swimming team from the regiment. I just learned to pole vault, by the way. I did 100 yards, 220 hurdles, discus, shot put, javelin throwing. I wasn't good, but I was good enough, you know, for the regimental team. And I learned to pole vault. In those days, we used to use bamboo poles. And there was nothing to fall into except the sand pit. Since then, of course, my knee has played me up, and it's as a result of that, I think. But having said that, I wouldn't have missed it for worlds. I never did more than 10 feet 6 in those days, which was quite good when we went on to metal poles. I'd love to have had one of these poles that you bend up in the middle. However, that's another story. So I did all sports, and as a result, didn't do very much. In fact, when I went back from my English leave, I had done no regimental training for over 14 months.
Really?
No. That was because of my leave and the sports in which I'd partaken.
We'll stop there. So, although you were sort of notionally a soldier, I mean, your musical things had taken over, haven't they?
Literally, yes. Yes.
So, I mean, the army wasn't feeling very threatened by having to...
Not a
do
bit.
Any action, were they?
No, not to feed me, even.
Yeah. So
no.
You were lotus eating, really, weren't you?
Yes, indeed, indeed. My army, except for my war bits, my army was wonderful. Mm. I didn't want to come out. And I wouldn't have done had things not turned out as they did, but that's another story.
So how long were you at Wellington altogether? You went there, you came back from leave on the December 37th.
And we went to Burma... in November
38. Right.
Yeah. I did normal training when I got back, of course, doing all the usual things. In fact, we went on a football tour shortly after I came back to the Annamalai Hills, the tea plantation.
Oh, yes, yeah.
We stayed there for 5 days playing football. I'd only just got back from the boxing ruddy business. So my sports things did me very well in the regiment. We were ordered to go to Burma. We knew we were going to Burma. Of course, that was wonderful in those days.
Yeah. So why were you sent there? This was just a routine?
No, just normal procedure.
Right.
Army posting, you know.
So you were quite pleased about this?
Very pleased.
But you got your girlfriend was in India.
Yes. The point was, I thought, well, Madras is only 4 days away, and we'll get married as soon as we can. We became engaged when I went back, and of course we were just leaving for Burma. Colonel Curran let me, he wasn't a colonel then.
He was the adjutant, wasn't he?
He was my adjutant still, and he let me off the ship just to say goodbye to Julia. That was that.
What, at Madras?
Yes.
On the way out?
Yeah.
Oh, it was nice of him.
Yeah, he was a gentleman, a real gentleman, and they knew Julia. I mean, they met her quite often, and some of them used to come to my church, of course, as well. So we get to this place called Rangoon. Oh, I'm sorry, I must tell you one story that I've missed out on in Singapore.
Right.
The boys were told one day that we had to move out of our barrack room into another barrack room because we had a very new barrack room. And the French Navy were coming, and some of their men had to take the billet over, yes? God on earth. These men came there, and they were filthy. I can't believe this. And when we went back to the barrack room, the toilets were just outside beautiful toilets. They had messed in the barrack rooms, these blokes. When I went to the barbers, he said, those men come here, black vests, not black, dirt. Really, it was awful. That's how bad it was, the Indian people. Well, we had to play the ship out. I was only a boy still in Singapore. And we went down to the docks. And the bandmaster, well, he was a wit. He really was a nice man. Before Bill Gibbs came to us, who was a bit of a rough and wonderful bandmaster. But Bill, this other bandmaster, we got down there and he said, we're supposed to play the Marseillaise when they go out, chaps. We will do that, and then we'll play Colonel Bogey, if you don't mind. And then all the blokes were singing, and the same to you, you know. It really was funny. It just struck me about how stupid it all was. Burma. We arrived there early in the morning.
You went by rail?
Train. From ship, from Madras, ship. Right. Madras to Burma. We arrived at Rangoon early in the morning. And that's a sight I should never forget. I've not seen it. I've been there since. But it was early morning, and the sun was just coming up. And there's this great Shwedagon pagoda. I didn't know that's what it was, but that's... Oh, it was gleaming in the sun. Oh, it's all gold. And it's gold. It's not painted. That's the point. We learned later that even the poorest people used to save up and buy little bits of gold leaf. We were at one place where we saw them doing this, smashing it. And it was then pasted. It's all covered in gold leaf. It really is wonderful. I went there quite often afterwards, and we went back there when we went back. But it was wonderful. We bussed out to a place called Mingledon Barracks. Very, very good barracks. Electric bunkers. Very well spaced. Two large football pitches. One very good and one just ordinary. Big hockey pitch. Guard room at the top end, officers' mess away, and officers' quarters farther away. Married quarters at the end of the barrack area. We settled down, and I was... One morning, I was sent for by my company commander, Charlie Baggett. Charles was a real martinet. A real soldier. He had an MC from the First World War. Charles Baggett. His wife was one of the most charming people I have ever met. That's another story. But Charles was a martinet, and he was could be a bully as well. Having said that, he was a wonderful colonel. But he was my major at the time, and I went in, and he said, Metcalf, you're going to duty. I couldn't believe what he said to me. I mean, going to duty was a punishment from the band or drums. You never went to duty. It was something in for dig, you know. And I was...
What exactly did that mean?
To duty means being transferred from my band to a duty company. Okay. A company, B company, C company headquarters.
Okay.
So I didn't know what to say to him, you know, because he was a man who wouldn't stand any truck, you know. I thought, what do I say? I said, I'm sorry, sir. Have I done something wrong? He said, no, you're going to A Company. Report to Sergeant Major Dutton tomorrow morning. I said, does the bandmaster know about this, sir? He said, Metcalf, get there. So Metcalf got there. I went up and I saw Tom Dutton. Tom Dutton was my Sergeant Major. I used to play rugby with him, so he called me Mick and I called him Tom. But we didn't on the occasions when we were on parade. But I was made a corporal that day, promoted. That's why they sent me, because there was no promotion in the band. But that was it was all a bluff, really. Tom Dutton, he became the colonel of the Wiltshire Regiment, ultimately, by the way, Tom. And he came to Bristol and had a sweet shop right opposite my girls' school, another story. And we sat talking. He said, what the hell's all this about, Mick? I said, well, I don't really know. He said, well, you'll have to take a platoon. You're a corporal. You'll have to... I said, but I don't know nothing about machine guns. Right outside. I mean, I knew you stuck them down and you press your fingers on the trigger. He said, look, tomorrow morning, I'll give you this little red book. It was a manual of, you know, machine guns, a little tiny red book. Read the first chapter. Get the men on parade. You've got 10 platoon. And they're quite decent chaps. There's a bloke named Castlebank in there, Hasselbank, like the footballer. He said, he's the one to pick on. He's the best lad. You know what you're talking about. I put in words to what's happening. So the next morning, I get out there and I stand behind my squad, 20 blokes, and the guns all set up there, two of them. And I said, right, Hasselbank, strip the gun. Yes, Corporal. He goes out and does it. I said, you made a mistake, haven't you? Yes, Corporal. He hadn't, of course. And that was it. That's how it went. The lads, afterwards, they said, how did you know so much about it, Corporal? I said, oh, well, I've been studying my manual all bloody night, you know. But it was a hoot. It was a hoot. I learned. It was. But then we were ordered to Dry Tree Point, A Company. And I still knew nothing about machine guns. I was learning, I'll agree. I could fire the Lewis gun, which was quite a different kettle of fish. We went to Dry Tree Point. It was down the river, and we had to put some kind of fortifications up. Not knowing why at all, by the way, just across the place was a place called Sirium, which was a Scots settlement where all the oil from Burma was purified. Sirium Oil Refinery. We played there on a couple of occasions, my band, and we had to do first footing, you know, like the Scots do, and take a piece of corn. But it was a wonderful place. We had a lovely band there. But we went down to Dry Tree Point, and I had a 2-2 rifle, and I used to shoot snakes in the water, water snakes. That was how I passed my time away, mostly. We did quite a lot of work there, and we did some training. Then
how
I was due.
How long were you down there?
Pardon?
How long were you down there?
Not long. Mm. I wasn't. The company were. Suddenly, I was due to sing at my first concert in City Hall, Rangoon. And I made arrangements for my evening dress to be sent down on the day of the show. On my way up the river, it poured with rain, and there was no shelter. I was in khaki shirt, slacks, my bayonet, pith helmet. And on the way up, we passed the other ferry, and I could hear, Mick! And I, who's that? Jack Moorfield. He was a boy with me. He was a corporal, acting drum major. He was always getting drunk. He said, I'm in trouble again, Mick. You got a report to the colonel in the morning when you get back. Well, I got back to him. I thought, that's funny. I went to the concert, and I had a, my evening dress didn't turn up. I had to go on singing as I was soaking wet. My first concert, had a lovely evening and met some wonderful people and a Dr. Lazarus. That's a story I'll talk to you about in a minute. Dr. Lazarus and his children and his wife were there. I didn't know them at all. They came and said, what a wonderful, I'd had a wonderful evening. I went back to barracks. My kit hadn't come up. I went to my old band room to sleep. And in the morning, I was sent for by the colonel. And he said, Metcalf, Colonel Chapman had just gone home. We had a new colonel by the name of Meyerhouse, Bill Meyerhouse. His wife was a soprano singer, by the way, which did me in good stead later on. But he sent for me. I went to the order room and he said, Metcalf, you know you were sent to duty, don't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, there was a reason to all this. I'm sorry you were not told, but it was not considered the right thing at the time. He said, we knew that Moorfield was going to muck it up as a drum major, so we're offering you the job. I couldn't believe my ears, you know. Drum major, oh, God. And he said, are you willing to? I said, I'll have a try, sir. Right, if you make the grade, you'll be a sergeant within weeks. I went down to the bandmaster, and I said, did you know about this, Bill? And he said, well, of course I did. That's why we recommended you. I said, you'll be a bloody good bloke for it. He said, there was no more promotion for you with us. As you know, there was a certain scale. Bandmaster, band sergeant, two corporals, two lance corporals. That was it. So he said, there you are. I went down to the drums room. I brought all the men in. There were 40 chaps in my corps of drums. And I said, you don't know chaps, but I'm taking over the drums. Within a month or so, I hope I'll be drum major. That's up to you, the way you prepare. Well, I was I don't want to be big-headed, but I was reasonably well-liked in the regiment. I was an athlete and I was a footballer, you know, and I knew most of the men in the regiment, by numbers, really. And I said to the corporal, Corporal Thompson, his brother Jack had just gone to be an officer and he was killed the first day in Egypt. And brother Bob had just gone back to the 2nd Battalion and he was killed in France. But Bob, Eddie Thompson, had been with me in the band. He was now the drum flute corporal. And we chatted together. I said, look, we don't want to go on playing all these damn tunes that they play. It's awful. Let's do... So he and I got together and wrote out, we're going to hang out the washing on the sea, all that sort of thing. You know what I mean? And Skipper Price, who'd been a boy with me, he was a leading drummer and a most beautiful bugler. And I said, Skipper, I want you to take the lads and you know what you have to do, paradiddle and all the rest of it. There's the music, get it done. We've got 3 days. We're on retreat on Thursday. I took the mace and I went down and I stripped off and I started to swing this thing. I could swing clubs and it wasn't difficult till I threw it up in the air when it didn't turn down. It didn't turn round. It came right down at me, nearly hit me. I thought, well, that's funny. It ought to turn round. I know it should. So I went up and I spoke to Eddie Thompson. He said, well, he said, I don't know very much about it because I never used it. But I think in the top there is a weight, but you've got to undo the whole lot to do it. I didn't have my regimental mace. It was the practice mace, you know, because the regimental mace was quite. I took it off, and there's this weight. So I adjusted it, and when I threw it the first time, it turned, but not how I wanted it. So I kept doing it till it did. You understand me? And then I caught it. You could catch it once it turned on it. And I practiced all damn day. I was pouring with sweat, but I made sure I was going to do it. I went down there for the 2 days, every day. I practiced swinging and throwing, and I didn't drop it once. But then I got the mace. It was a parade mace, which was with all the regimental battle honours on it, much heavier. And I took that out. Same thing happened, because Jack Moorfield was 6'2", and I was only 5'9". It made an awful lot of difference. I adjusted the weights till it was right. Came retreat time. The band and drums always beat retreat. And Bill Gibbs said to me, good luck, Mick, before I went on. I marched them on parade, and we went up and down, and I threw the mace up, and eventually I dropped it. Skipper Price picked it up, brought it back to me. That was it, nothing. At the end of the parade, I had to go to the colonel, permission to fall out, you know, that sort of thing. And he said, drum major, could we have another march, please? Never heard of it before. The blokes were whistling and sweet, you know, all the Siegfried line. And it was really wonderful. I'm not joking. I was thrilled to bits. And my chaps really backed me up. And we came off. And the RSM, he came up to me. I've forgotten his name now. Such a nice man. He wasn't fit. That's not true. He was a wonderful man, but he wasn't an RSM. He wasn't regimental, you know. But he kept the regiment in order while we were there. And it was sad business with him anyway. But that, he came up to me and said, Corporal, bloody good show. Best retreat I've heard for years. And I was really chuffed. I went back. 2 days later, I was a sergeant. And I'd been broadcasting from Rangoon. And 1 week I was a lance corporal. 2 weeks later, I was a corporal. And 3 weeks later, I was... My wife couldn't believe it. But that was how it went.
So when did you get married?
In 1940. I had to get permission, of course, you see.
So this was... you went to Rangoon in November 38.
Yeah.
Did you have any sense that about a looming war?
No.
Because you'd been out of Europe for a long time, hadn't you? So.
Yeah, and 39, when the war started, still didn't make much difference to us, except one Sunday morning we marched to church, yes, and the padre, whom I knew very well, because we used to run a Rover Scout group, he and I, name's gone from me for a moment, but... He was a lovely man, the regiment. He was a regimental chaplain as well. And he got into the pulpit. We all sit. I always used to take the choir boys. I sat with the choir boys. And even when I all the time was private lance corporal, right through to drum major time, I always sat with the choir boys because I used to take them. And he stood up in the pulpit and he said, gentlemen, we have just heard over the radio that Great Britain are at war with Germany. That was it. There was a deathless hush in the clothes that night, I'll tell you that. We came out, and he said, there won't be any... My colonel got up and said, we were dismissed here, drum major. We all fell in outside the church. We didn't march back. We dismissed. There was a sort of air of gloom about the place the whole day. Nobody knew what was going to happen, and I was worried because I was going to get married the next year, you know. We couldn't come home now because of the war.
Right. You didn't think you might be hooked no. back to Europe?
No, I didn't. No. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I must say this, that things carried on quite normally yeah. for us. There was no war, nothing, right. or even thoughts about it at that time.
What were the regiment's duties in Rangoon?
We didn't do very much.
You were just there.
We very rarely went into town. There were riots on one occasion when our friend Gandhi came.
Okay.
And we did have trouble on one occasion. I must say that because the riots started in Rangoon as a result of his visit. He was shepherded back to India, but the riots continued. The battalion was called out on internal security duties. And the band, this is before I was the drum major, I was still a lance corporal, the band were sent to Government House. And Dorman Smith was the governor then. 12 of us were put in a certain place, 12 in another, and 12 in another. I forgot what happened to the residue. But we were all at various strategic points around Government House. The first night, nothing had happened during the day. The first night, we got down to Kip, and I was in charge of the guard, and I was late getting to bed when my shift came round. And I could always remember it, because I hadn't got to sleep when suddenly I heard brrrr, tuk-tu, and I didn't know what the hell it was. I found out it was what they called a tuk-tu lizard. This is the noise he used to make. Get behind the picture as he did. You never found a damn thing. Anyway, the next morning, the governor came and said, I want all the men at the front of the Government House. Loaded. We all had 5 rounds. That's all we had, by the way. And we all loaded up with 5 rounds, magazine in. Stood there, just waiting. The band sergeant and the band corporal and the other lads, standing there like that, in a line. 40 of us, I think. And down the road came hundreds and hundreds of students, beefing. Well, I thought, if they'd come in, we couldn't have done very much. We couldn't have done very much had they come. They got to the gate and they wanted to see the governor. Yeah? So, the governor came out very sensibly. He talked to them and said he would look into their beef, or words to that effect. And they went away. I'm not joking. We were all visibly relieved because we thought we were going to be shooting somebody. But all over the city, I went out a couple of times on other occasions with the band when we had a man with a banner. And on the banner was written in Gujarati, Hindustani, Burmese, if you do not disperse, we will fire. On one occasion, it happened. There were hundreds of them, and I was there. And the sergeant said, front right kneel, load, front right aim, and we're in the aim. All the banners went up. They didn't stop. He said, right, chaps, over their heads. We fired a salvo. They ran away. But that was the nearest thing we ever had to it. And we were out nearly a month.
Really?
Nearly a month on that internal security. But I'd forgotten about that. But I was still a lance corporal then. And
what
as
were
I,
they protesting about? Do you know? Was it?
I'm sorry. I think it was to do with Gandhi's visit. You understand me?
Yes.
It was trouble for everyone.
From that.
Exactly. Because the Burmese, they were lovely people. Mm-hmm. Lovely people. Honestly, quiet and... Mostly. There were bands, of course, bad. And I only had one Burmese friend. He spoke English. And Martha Ney, the singer, I knew. They were the only two people I really knew. The man I knew was a Rover Scout leader, and we used to meet on that occasion, you know. I've forgotten his name now. But Martha Ney, I used to meet pretty frequently at a studio. She was a lovely girl. My wife got to know her later on. But around this particular time, when I was made drum major, things had settled down reasonably well. You go into town on the bus. There was a bus right outside our station, and it cost you little or nothing. And they'd stop at various places, and including women. They used to smoke large cheroots, great big things. And they'd stop, and by the tree there was a tallowed rope burning. And they'd all go out, light their shruddy cheroots, and come back. And they used to stink horribly. But it was wonderful, really. It was 11 miles into Rangoon. I got lifts quite often. And I joined the Music Society, I think I'd said. And this is a story that you're not going to believe, but it's perfectly true. My dog had been killed before they went to Burma. All dogs, they were not allowed to take them from the regiment. And they told me, Green was the chap who had to shoot them. He loved dogs too. He said, Mick, it was bloody awful, and it must have been for him because he was a dog lover. And I was broken hearted. We get to Burma, and before I married, I didn't have any animal at all. So but I'm just trying to think what I was going to tell you then, and my mind went quite blank for a moment.
Never mind, right.
Yeah.
So you're in Burma, and you actually got married, you went back to Madras.
Yes,
right?
Yes, right. That's right. I joined the Music Society.
This was the Expats Music Society.
This is the Rangoon Music Society. There were Burmese girls as well. Mostly British American. I went down there and they asked me to do the lead of the Maid of the Mountains, for which I was very chuffed. And a lady called Della Wiseham, whose husband was a professor, she was a musician. She played the piano, and we used to go to her house, or I did at that time, and to practice. And the lady who was going to be the maid fell pregnant. It caused a bit of consternation because I was the leading man. And we had another girl. 3 weeks later, she fell pregnant. We didn't know what to do because there were not many people wanted to do this. My colonel's lady, Jean Marhouse, she was a soprano singer. I said to Della Wiseham, why don't you ask the colonel's lady? She said, oh my, I wonder if we get her, you know. So Jean Marhouse was asked and said she would like to do it. So Jean came down, and she had a big American car. She used to take me in for ruddy rehearsals, so it was lovely for me. And her husband was a real gentleman, nice man. Anyway, Julia, we'd been trying for a baby, and we hadn't had one. And, no, we weren't married then, were we? No, this is later on. This was later.
Right, okay.
I have to say this now, because when we got married, a lady gave us a Labrador pup. It was a crossbreed bulldog Labrador. And we called it Fluke because they didn't want it. Because they bred dogs, this lady, from the Music Society. Gave it, and I left it with my corporal when I went to get married. And when we came back, Fluke was our dog. And he was wonderful. But the colonel's lady fell pregnant. This is true. There were three of them. And, I mean, everybody's looking at me because I'm the leading bloke with all these girls all the time. But my wife fell pregnant at the same time, yeah? We were very chuffed. My wife made clothes for my child, my daughter, and for Colonel's wife. She made, and in fact, Bill, the son became, we were godparents to Bill. And he became one of my lieutenants when I went to the police years later in Hong Kong. But that's another story. And the war was coming nearer to us, and the men were being called up to what was a territorial unit out there. And so Finnish, Maid of the Mountains, never was put on in Rangoon.
Right. Harold Morris Metcalf, end of reel 7.